Well, greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of radio. We're coming on real late today, and we do apologize for our lateness. But we're ready to give you some good gospel music and a good inspirational word on this evening. We won't keep you longer than normal. We're just going to keep moving right on through. So let's get started. This is Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Always remember,
it's almost better when you smile.
Come on.
Almost better.
Let the Holy Ghost power y'all. Hand up a brother. Hardship, difficulty. Tears, storms. This is what I do. But it feels good. All things are working. Hallelujah. I know it's hard right now. Because you're a winner. You look better. Tell us. New Orleans. Come on. Cleveland. Detroit. Yeah. Philly. Hey. You gotta have something to have spirit. I want you to have joy. Cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. My.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There you go. God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
That's who I am. That's who I am. And then it says, you're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. I invite you today to make a step toward our Heavenly Father. Despite your frame of reference for what a good father is, some of us, we have all different experiences, and some of us have had great fathers. Some of us have had okay fathers, and some of us have had fathers not so okay. But if you make one step past your frame of reference for what you think a good father is, just make a step past that frame of reference toward our Heavenly Father, I promise you, He'll make two steps towards you today. all over the building. If you would just, right where you are, lift your hand. The truth of the matter is he is a good father. We're all here today. Despite what the world says and despite what may be going on in the world, God is still good. That will never change. He is good. His mercy and his truth endure. So we honor him today. I'm going to teach you the chorus. It says, you're a good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
And I'm loved by you. It's who you are. It's who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are
Who he is. Amen. Amen. I love that song. It got some more left on it, but I want to greet everyone that's on the line. God bless you on this evening. I know we normally do our testimony, but I hear some feedback in the background there. Amen. Well, God bless you all for being on the program this evening. I see everyone there. God bless you. Anybody got a testimony? You know, I love testimony service. Even though I started late, we always have to make time for a testimony. There might be a fire hot testimony out there. Somebody may need that word of encouragement. So I don't want to forego it and pass it by. Amen. It might be. It might just be a testimony. I know I got one because every time I turn around, he keeps blessing me. He keeps showing me more and more and more. So I am so thankful. Amen. So y'all know my song. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify. While I have a chance, I believe I testify. While I have a chance, oh, I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is open. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. Somebody give God some glory.
Yeah, if you can hear me, I praise the Lord for his help today driving a U-Haul. And so it's Ruth here. I've had an interesting day.
How you doing, Ruth?
Yeah, I'm having a blast, I tell you. I thank God for everything that happened. I was even able to back the U-Haul well. So I just thank the Lord for just pushing me along. I think the angels did it.
Amen, amen.
I just want to praise his name for what he's doing.
Yeah, I knew that over the weekend that Ken had rented the U-Haul to help Sister Emily, and you know, we know that she helps him with the blind trucking delivery service. But I just wondered, you know, who was in the driver's seat. That's all. And so you confirmed it. So we you confirmed who was in the driver's seat. Amen. Because that indeed would have sure enough been another miracle if Ken was in the driver's seat.
Yeah, you'd have to stop the truck several times, make sure he's still on the road. That's the way he puts it. Yeah, you know, he used to drive a bicycle real well, but when he's with Emily, he's okay, because they went to school together. They were, you know, schoolmates. So,
yeah.
We're going to do another joke show, but.
Yeah, it's one thing him being the engine, having this, and then there's another thing him being the steering. So I tell you, that would have been a feat made for television. I believe he can do it if he had somebody that had just real good, excellent instruction detail. I believe he'll try it.
You know how funny he is, though. He comes over with the cutest jokes. So he's over there with Emily now with another person. I think they got a crowd over there helping them get the last of stuff into the U-Haul. Then I have to take it back because they're having inspection tomorrow at her apartment. So,
okay.
God's going to bless it all. God will take it all.
Yeah.
He'll take care of it.
We pray everything go well. And I'm so glad that y'all are there to help her. That's a blessing by itself, you know, really and truly. That's a testimony in itself because people nowadays, especially when the pandemic hit, and, you know, you got people that are skeptical about this, that, and the other. And so for you all to go outside your comfort zone and to lend aid and assistance to help her do what's need to be done, that's a blessing by itself. That truly is. And when the Bible says, tell us to love our neighbors as ourselves, I think you all are doing a great demonstration, a demonstration of showing the love of God by assisting someone else when there's no specific mandate that you have to, but you choose to, which is a blessing by itself. So kudos to you and Ken for helping her and those who have come along to help load the truck. God bless you all for that type of service.
Oh, you know what? I just need to pray one more thing for her. She lost another person in the family. Somebody on her real father's side. I think it's that great aunt. So we'll just put that on too as a proof.
Okay.
That's what I've been through so much, and I just don't want this landlord to throw her out. So we're pushing it to the max, all the way till Wednesday, and see if we can help her. Because I don't see that white girl going on the street. You know.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people, you know, it's kind of odd how that unfolded, but, you know, you never know why things are unfolding the way they are. And so we just pray for that particular landlord and that God will give them mercy in their hearts. Because, you know, sometimes when you're on a fixed income and you're limited to physical, what you can do physically, you know, it's kind of hard. So we just pray that God will give a favor and touch the landlord heart and to extend that favor to him where it's needed. But thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your
salvation. I don't know. Her name is Erica. Just pray for her. She probably needs salvation. You know, we don't know the issue. I don't talk to her much, but I did help her get that apartment originally. I thought the lady was nice. But now she's like she's turning on her at the end. So just pray that, you know, I believe God's going to take care of the whole thing.
Yeah, and he will. He will. He will do it. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to pray the favor of God over.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
And my chain is undone. In your Holy Spirit, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence in your spirit. Holy Spirit, come flood this place with your attitude. Your glory, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come flood this place and fill us up, God. Your glory is what our hearts long for, to be prayer today. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Of God. There are so many places we can be in this world. There are so many things that we could be doing in this world. But out of all those things, the greatest place that we can find ourselves is in the presence of the Lord. That is to be in unity with Him, to be one with the Father. Hallelujah. There's something about God's presence. Something about God's presence. It just changes your whole atmosphere. It changes everything about you. No matter what you're going through in life, if you can just get into the presence of the Lord. We have Psalms 91 talking about being under His wings. Psalms 131. These songs are to remind us of the covering of the Lord. Even Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. Just to embrace who God really is and to go after Him like none other. Amen. It's amazing that we can pursue a lot of things in life and we can go after them with everything that's within us. But when it comes down to the things of God, do we give that same energy, that same effort to know who God is? talking to my young men out there, when you saw that particular woman that caught your eye, that particular young lady that you couldn't get off your mind, you was thinking about her even as you were going to sleep. You woke up thinking about her, and you began to plot out in your mind, how can I win her? How can I get her attention? And you begin to do all that you can think of to win her favor, to get her attention. Amen. And you went after her. I just want to say, not just to the men, but to the women too, let us be like that towards God. Let us chase him. Let us go after him. Let us find ourselves desiring just to be in his company. Amen. Not trying to get in what's in God's hand. Many times, we only pray because there's a lack. We only cry out to God because of insufficiency. But every now and then, I think we need to stop and just tell God, thank you. Thank you for what we already have. Thank you for what he's already done. Thank you for already being good. The first song was the good, good Father. God is good. If he does nothing else for us, he's already good. And I know that the phrase itself sounds suspicious or suspect, because it says, if he never does anything else for me, he's done enough. But if you understood that God tells the end before the beginning began, that means everything that's about to be good in your life, everything that will be good, God has already released it in time. And so it's just you going through the process of praying for patience and understanding and clarity so that you will walk in the right place in that right time, so that you don't miss the blessing, so that you don't overlook the blessing, because God had already saw all that we need to fulfill the purpose in why he has planted us where we are. So everything that we need is already wrapped up, tied up in him. So to say if he never does anything else, he's already done everything. We're just waiting on time to reveal it. So he's already done enough for us. Matter of fact, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by itself alone was enough, because that redeemed us, that saved us from eternal punishment in hell's fire. So he's been good already. And so when we start there, that he's already good, he's been good, he is good, and there's more good to come because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is good, so there's more coming. Amen. On yesterday, we was ministering from the standpoint of walking with the Lord. And to walk with the Lord is to be unified with God. In order to walk with the Lord, you must be unified with him. And how can you be unified with him if you don't know him, if you don't agree with what he has said? If you're saying one thing contrary to what he has said, then there is no unity. So how can we be unified with God? We talked about that. We gave seven keys to this principle. We understand that unity is a key to kingdom success. But what are the keys to unity with God? We gave those to you on yesterday. We gave you 7 keys. We want to echo those again and read the scripture that goes along with that so that you'll have a little bit more insight on the text. We gave you number 1 key. It's in order to be unified with God, you have to be a son of God, a child of God. You can't be unified with God if you're not part of the family. If you're not his child, you cannot be unified with him. You have to be a good steward. You have to be a good soldier. You have to be a good wrestler. You have to be a workman of good works. You have to be a good vessel. And most of all, you have to be a good servant. Now, why did I add good with all of those things? There's a movement or statements that's going around the world now. You see it on television. You see it in certain programs. A person can get in trouble and for doing something illegal. And the person that tries to pick up for them usually start out the phrase where you just don't understand. He's a good person. It's just that. And then they give you the excuse why they did wrong. It's amazing how today many people want to say that they are good, but they are doing things that are bad. We're living in a day and time when people still want to classify themselves as being good-hearted, although they may be doing bad things. And they give excuses as to say, well, I only was stealing because of this. Well, I only sold drugs because of that. Well, I was only in prostitution because of this or that. Well, I was only a whoremonger because of this. Well, I was this because of that. And it's always an excuse, and they fall back on the statement, well, my heart is good. So in the danger of looking like I'm judging, I'm going to step out here anyway and make a statement. If you went into a restaurant and that restaurant had a top-level chef in the kitchen, and you knew that this was a 5-star chef or 4-star chef, you know, top of the notch, one of those iron chefs, you know, one of the chefs you see on television or something, you knew that this person had a representation of producing good and quality food. You go into the restaurant, sit down to have a meal with your family, to enjoy your meal. Now, it doesn't matter. When your food comes to the table and you had ordered chicken and your wife ordered steak, that'll be me and my wife. I order chicken, she'll order steak. And this is a steakhouse. And she ordered medium well. And when the food comes to the table, the chicken got some blood in it, and the steak if cooked well done and dry. It doesn't matter what his accolades is, how long he's been cooking. At that moment in your mind, you're not thinking about his qualification. You're simply saying, okay, something is terribly wrong here because this shouldn't even made it out the kitchen. Even if the chef made a mistake, the person taking it, the person that set the plate should have saw that this is completely wrong. And so for you to say that the restaurant is a great restaurant, you begin to question that, especially if you start in your ear hearing complaints from other tables around you. It'll probably be a long time before you return to that restaurant. Depending on the response of the management as they approach you to the table, depending on what they say about the condition of the food. But it will make it worse if it was already a half an hour that you waited on a medium rare steak that should have been prepared and ready for you and on your table in 15 minutes. You have some type of way of thinking. People, we can't help but to judge actions, deeds, because if you say you're good, you're supposed to produce good. So if you had a garden and you know you planted good seeds, but when you go back to check on your vegetables, they're not producing ripe, you're going to look in the soil and see if there's worms or something causing an issue with the development of your fruit. And this is what I'm saying in short. You may have good intentions, but good intentions are not good without the deeds. I'm going to say that one more time. Good intentions are not good without the deed. Because if my good intention was to be there on time and I showed there a day late, yes, I meant to do well, but I didn't. So I have to call it for what it is. I messed up. I was wrong. I was in error. I was at fault. Doesn't mean that I was malicious, but it do mean I have some areas that I need to work on. That's why I love the Bible. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that eliminates all of us from thinking that we're so special, we never can make a mistake or we never make errors. The Bible also said that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that means it's a possibility when you're listening to your heart alone. I'm going to resound that again. When you're listening to your heart alone, you can be misled. I've counseled people who thought that everybody was against them. Let me be clear. There's almost no way possible for everybody to be against you. If everybody is against you, you have to be wrong. So if you're saying that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, but everybody keep coming against you, there's a dynamic that's taking place in your mind that is not in reality. Because number one, everyone can't tell the same lie. So if they're saying you're bad, you're not this, you're this and that, everyone can't tell the same thing. So therefore, number one, if you say that everybody is coming against you and they're saying this or that about you, you may be doing what they're saying that you are doing. You may be at fault. If everybody, the chances are, for the most part, everyone is not. But there may be two or three that has, in your mind, you have placed them at a certain plateau in your mind. So when they say negative things to you, it comes out as judging. And most times, it stems from something that has happened in the past that you have not been able to let go or to forgive. And so you're holding on to some past actions. And so when the new stuff happens, you lump them together, and your emotion, your heart, that emotional state kicks in and say, they ain't never like me. They ain't never this and that. And you get on that rampage and you lose focus. Now, speaking of focus, let me back all the way back and get in line with the text for tonight. Amen. Unity with God. Number one, to be unified with God, we must first be a son. Amen. We must first be a son. How can we be a son of God? We must be a son by faith. By faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, plural. That means we all have sonship. That includes you two women. That sonship, position where we are part of the family. Okay? So that sonship means we're moving into position of authority because we are heirs to the kingdom. Amen. Joint heirs by Christ Jesus. So he says here, number one, if we want to truly be unified with God, we first need to be sons of God. And the way we are sons of God, John 1, 12, but as many as receive. So first you got to receive salvation. You have to receive the gift that God has given. You have to receive the atonement that he has made for us. So we can't say, I'm so righteous, I don't need atonement. Or I ain't as bad as this one, or I ain't bad as that one. None of those things matter. We must be a son by receiving him. Amen. So again, St. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become to become. So there are some actions here that need to take place to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So we knew that the Israelites was the children of God. And now, because of what Christ done on the cross, now the Gentiles, that's non-Israelites, that's all of us, that's everybody else, have the right to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Amen. Our next step, our next key, is stewardship. If you want to be unified with God, you need to be a good steward. I say good steward because there can be some bad stewards. You know, if you was a butler and you didn't make sure to answer the door in a timely manner, you didn't check on the maids and make sure that the operations of the house is going in order, then you may not be a good butler. You may be a butler, but you're not a good butler. Most of us know the story of Batman. Alfred is the ultimate butler because he not only saw to Bruce's need, but he saw to Batman's need as well, even though they're one and the same. And he made sure he kept the secret of the house. Amen. And he saw to making sure that there was a balance between Bruce and Bat. So if you're a steward for God, a good steward, you got to be a good steward through faithfulness. That means you can't be in church today and out of church tomorrow. You can't be in Christ today and out of Christ tomorrow. You can't be what we call straddling the fence. In other words, you know, when people getting ready to climb a fence and you're sitting on top of the fence, you can't be one leg on one side and another leg on the other side. You have to be all the way with God. And I know all of us have our issues, our hang-ups, but to be all the way with God means you give God who you are. And don't let whatever performance, whatever drive that you had for anything else, don't let it be greater than your drive for God. Amen. So key number two, you must be a good steward through faithfulness. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a man be found faithful. That goes for you, sisters, too. So, moreover, in stewards, we must be found faithful, committed. Committed all the way through, trusting the Lord. Amen. Our third key is he must fight a good fight of faith. One of the issues with the children of Israel when they were being delivered from Egypt, it's amazing that they ended up taking a 40-day journey that took them 40 years. But when you look at the geographical map to where they were and where they were going, there was a shorter path for them that would have delivered them within 2 weeks to their destination. But the territory that they would have had to go through, they would have had to fight their enemies. And because they wasn't willing to fight, they didn't have the right fight yet. They had to go the long way around. because they wasn't ready to fight. And even then, that God gave them a different route to go that would have been safer for them, they still didn't fight through faithfulness. Moses up in the mountain for 40 days, and because he was getting instructions from God, within 40 days they had already went back to worshiping idols, went back to behaving like those of the Egyptians, went back from doing what they were supposed to do. Just because things don't happen for us right away don't mean we're supposed to go back to bad habits. If God has delivered you from something, don't run back to doing the things of old again. You know, once God has freed you, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Hold on to your faith. So, to unify with God is to fight a good fight of faithfulness as a good soldier. See, a soldier learns how to fight. A soldier takes instruction and follows them through. A soldier is taught to stay on their post, and it goes on. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That means eternal life is something for us to go and grab. So it's something for us to hold on to. It says lay hold on it. Don't let it go. Amen. Whereunto thou art also called, as having professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now that you have made this confession that you are saved, hold on to your salvation. Hold on to your sanctification. Hold on to your trust in God. Stand up. Be a soldier for the Lord. The old song used to say, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. And those songs of old used to remind us that we're on the battlefield for the Lord. What battlefield? Spiritually. Our fight is not with each other, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen, somebody. So he must wrestle against spiritual wickedness. So to be unified with God is learning how to be a good wrestler. Wrestling against spiritual wickedness, not against your brother or your sister, not against that denomination or this denomination, but against spiritual wickedness. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, remember, I wrestle with not with each other, but in that spirit realm. A next key is to be a good workman, or to be a workman of good works. Amen. So to be good and doing good works, you know, like what Missionary Ken and Sister Ruth is doing today, helping their neighbor, that is a workman of good works. Why? Because God get the glory, and that's how we classify good works. We classify good works by whether or not God can get the glory. See, they're not taking the glory and patting themselves on the back. But they're saying to God be all the glory for the things he alone is doing. Amen. So God has given them the glory to be able to be helpers to her in this situation. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we're in the Bible. The Bible tells us to do good works. Titus 3 and 8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that confirm consistently, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Wow. So Titus tells us that we're to be careful to maintain, that means to continue to do good works. Things are good and profitable unto men. So here again, we want to be unified with God. God's a good God. He's a giving God. He's a loving God. He's a patient God. So we have to learn to walk with him through these actions. He's one another key for us is being a good vessel. You know, we was made by God. We was marred in the potter's hand, you know, Jeremiah 18 and 4. And the vessel that they made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he that made it again, another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. I mean, God felt good when he made you, when he created you, when he allowed you to be born. I don't care how you came into the world. It was his good pleasure to bring you in here. Acts 9 and 15 says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. There's some calls in our lives to be an example to the world of someone who truly loved God. So you may be just called to be an example of what it means to stick and stay, to hold on to your faithfulness. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, and be not drunk with wine when excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So while you're drinking your soda pop and the other thing else, make sure you're drinking the Holy Spirit, making sure you're being what we call baptized in the Holy Spirit, making sure you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you. You're asking for his understanding, his direction, so that you may fulfill all that God has for you. And finally, let's be good servants. As we close out tonight, 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Amen. Amen. So, God has called us to be good servants, to be good managers of his property. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. This our daddy stuff. Let's take care of it. Let's not be unkind, unwise to our daddy. Let's show him that we care about the things that he has done for us. Hey, we're at the end of our program on tonight. Allow me to offer up a word of prayer for you, that for you, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. We have special prayer for those on our sick and shut-in list, those that are dealing with pain in their bodies, sickness in their bodies. We know that although the numbers of the coronavirus have come down, but there are still people that are catching the disease. Catching the virus and being affected by it. And so We want to pray for them. We want to pray for those that are still dealing with cancer in their bodies. We want to pray for those that are dealing with high blood pressure, low blood pressure, sugar diabetes, MS. We want to pray for those that's dealing with just chronic pains in their bodies, arthritis, and what have you. We want to pray that God will give them strength to bear through. I will show them how to manage their body so that their pain levels disappears, so that their pain levels will go away, to be reduced. We pray that God will heal them from that cancer, that God will heal them. And we understand that sometimes your the disc in your spine, they can deflate. But we're praying that God will reinflate them, that God will strengthen them. We're praying that God will miraculously fill somebody's cavity. Amen. And there was testimonies on that before, that God filled cavities miraculously. So we believe God can do anything but fail. And so we want to pray for you on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, somebody dealing with low self-esteem and heartache and pain. And we just want to pray as we lift them up before you right now. We put them in the atmosphere of faith. We're praying, Lord God, that we're praying with them as well as for them. And Lord God, that you will bring understanding and clarity to their circumstances, their situations. We're praying for them that's going through grieving periods right now for the loss of loved ones. Lord God, everyone grieves differently. And so, God, we pray, Lord God, that their grieving time is not one that's overbearing, not one that is too long. Lord God, keeping them in a stupor or a state of depression. But, Lord God, we know for everything under the sun, there is a time and a season. And so, God, it may be a season of pain or maybe a season of mourning. But, Lord God, there's a season of joy to come. There's a season of peace to come. And we pray that those seasons will come to them in due time. And, Lord God, we know we shall reap if we faint not. And so, God, we pray that they be not weary in their well-doing. That we pray, Lord God, that they faith will stay focused on you, that their eyes will stay close to you and look to you for all of their resources, for you to source to every resource that we can have. So, God, we ask that you would just have your way. We thank you for clarity and understanding. James said, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of you to give to all men liberally. So give us wisdom on how to take care of now. And if we take care of now, we know later as it comes, it will become now, and you will give us what to do then. And so we thank you, God. We trust you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for the Six Eyes Radio Network and all its leaders and family members. We lift them before you that you will comfort them and keep them from unseen hurt, harm, and danger. Give them traveling mercy if they travel abroad. Don't allow accidents or incidents to take place. We bind up traffic tickets in the name of Jesus. We give them safe travel in the name of Jesus. We decree it to be so. Love you, O God. We thank you. And until the next programming that is to come, word from the King on tomorrow night, we thank you. We thank you for all the programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We pray for each team member that they be not weary and well-doing, that they will have courage to keep on preaching, keep on teaching, keep on proclaiming the things that you have given their heart to say to the listeners. And we thank you, Father, for our listeners. We thank you for whether they listen live or listen on recording. Lord God, we just thank you for them. And we pray, Lord God, what we have said will encourage them to keep on keeping on with you. And as they do it, God, we're mindful to give you all the honor, to give you all the glory. for all the praise belong to you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you. Amen and amen. Once again, I want to say good night to all of you. I love you with the love of Christ. I thank you for joining me on tonight. I did close here by the night. Thank you all. Y'all have a wonderful night. Be blessed. Was that in? Did I miss anything? Anything? All right. But once again, thank you all. Have a blessed and wonderful night. We'll see y'all next time.
Bless you too.
Thank you. God bless.